Good morning to you. It's good to see you this morning. We are all dependent on something. We are often dependent, of course, on electricity, right? When we flip the switch on, that lights come on. We're dependent on clean drinking water. We often depend on our family and friends to show up at tough times in our life or to show up to celebrate with us. We have dependence on all kinds of things. But what happens when those things fail us? Because the truth is that in this world, nothing is for sure. Sometimes friends won't show up for us. Sometimes family, they just don't show up. Sometimes when we turn on the light switch, the electricity doesn't work. What happens when those things that we depend so deeply on in this world fail us? Psalm 127 is a psalm of dependence. It's a psalm that they would sing together as they went up to Jerusalem to the place where God is to celebrate the Lord, to be with the Lord. They would sing this psalm to remind themselves that God is one that they could depend on. That they could depend on God to build their lives. They could depend on God to protect their lives. And they would sing that together. Psalm 127 is unique because of the author, Solomon. Solomon, he wrote two psalms, Psalm 127 and then Psalm 72. And if you remember, Solomon, he is the son of David, and he wrote the book of Proverbs early in his kingship, and then later in his kingship, close to the end of his life, he wrote Ecclesiastes. And if you take some time to read both of those books, kind of back to back, you'll kind of realize where he was in life. Solomon was a king who built. Solomon was a king who knew how to protect, and he was someone who, when was asked, what would you want? God the Father asked him, what is it that you want above anything? And he said, I want wisdom. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure that if God asked me, you can have anything in the world, that is what I would ask for. But surely this is what the scriptures teach us that Solomon did. And Solomon was the wisest next to Jesus ever to walk the face of the earth. And this is where we get the book of Proverbs, all the wisdom that's deeply in there. Yet at some point, Solomon, and if you read in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, he began to accrue such deep wealth. And he used his wisdom. He had deep wisdom that it kind of went to his head. You know, when you get to a point in life where you have everything, right? You don't really need to depend on God anymore because you can depend on yourself. You have all the things. This is exactly what Solomon began to do. And he began to be disobedient. 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 through 6, you could take some time to read that. But ultimately, God said, Solomon, look, you cannot marry foreign women, women outside of the tribe. And what did he do? He was disobedient. Not only did he marry, but he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, he went to the nth degree, and he began to be miserable. If you continue to read, his life began to be miserable because it was built on him. It was protected by him, and he was not a person of rest. He tried to find all his rest in what he could do. He tried to find all his dependence in what he could do. Yet he could never find it. Certainly Solomon, he depended on himself, and he still made it, right? He still made it. He lived and he died. But the way he made it was not abundant. The way that he made it through was not full. And at the end of his life, it was very, very dark. You see, this scripture is going to teach us how to depend on God so that when we get to the end of our life, when we get to a place at the end of our life that we can say that we've lived an abundant, full life that has been that has focused toward the Lord. That it has reflected a life and a legacy passed down that followed Jesus. The definition of dependence is the state of relying on or being controlled by someone or something else. And a very quick way to begin to ask as we get into this teaching is, what is it that you are relying on? What is it that you are being controlled by? As we step into this, look at Psalm 127. This is what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builder is wasted. And unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to go to work early in the morning till late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to the ones he loves. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children are born to a young man, are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Now, before we jump into this, there's two root lies I want to dispel before we start talking about this. One, you could say real quickly, unless the Lord builds it, the labor's work in vain. You could say, well, I don't really have to work. No, as followers of Jesus and as people who seek the kingdom first, right, we are called to put effort forward. That means we're not earning. We're not trying to earn God's love, but we are putting effort forward. It means we're going to have to work. And the truth is that work is just a part of what we do, but it's allowing God to build our lives. And secondly, you could say, well, this is kind of a psalm just for those who have a family, right? I'm already past that. I'm a grandparent, or I'm single, or I'm widowed, or whatever that might be. No, this is a psalm for everyone. This is a psalm for everyone learning how to depend totally on God. So I'm going to give you two things God wants us to know, one thing God wants us to do, and what are the effects of those things? Two things God wants us to know. Let's start with number one. Very simply, number one, verse one, we can depend on God to build our lives. That's what he wants us to know. We know, if you look at the very beginning, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. We know a solid foundation is so important. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, where he talked about the wise men built the house upon the rock. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the one that was built on the rock stood, but the one on the sand was washed away. We can build our lives, but if we are going to be on a solid foundation, it is one that is built by God on the foundation of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says that Jesus is the cornerstone, and later Mark chapter 12, verse 10, Jesus talks about the stone rejected is the cornerstone. Having a solid foundation, being built up in Christ, is the way to live a life that is abundant. And we can depend on God to build our lives. But here's the thing. It takes ultimate submission to him. Allowing God to build your life, if you really want him to build it, you want him to speak into your life, it takes you totally submitting to him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is a proverb of submission. And if we want to depend on God to build our house, to build our life, then we must submit totally to him. Part of that is asking the Lord to teach us how to submit to him. That's found in the scripture over and over. It's us investing our life in scripture and to the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately, we want a life built on his love. Now, the truth is, we can build our lives on many things. We can build it on education and family and possessions, retirement. But every one of those things, and you name it, outside of the Lord, if those things build our life, they will fade. Because it's easy to invest in the temporary pleasures of the world because those things submit to us. I mean, think about it. Let's just look at the ones I named. Education. We get to decide how far we go when it comes to education. It submits to us. Our family. We get to decide, right, how many kids we have, or how our family, it submits to us. Think about the possessions. They obviously submit to us. Retirement. It submits to us. We decide where to put our money, where not to put in money. These things will fade. And what makes God building our life so difficult is that we actually have to submit ourselves to him. We have to say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. on my own. I can certainly try. But it fades. And so we can depend on God to build our lives, but that dependence comes from our submission to Him. God will do it in a way that honors Him. God will do it in a way that proves that He is the one who saves. Now, you might be building your life right now on your own, whether it's possessions, family, whatever, worries, doubts, any of those things. You're building your life on those things, and you could say, like, man, what should I do now? I built my life totally wrong. Well, I want you to be reminded that Jesus went to the cross so that our lives will be deconstructed, that He can reconstruct them in a way that honors Him. To free you from sin and death. And even if you're a follower of Jesus and you have been taking your life back and building it yourself, you can openly give it back to Him so that He might build it, and you can trust Him to build your life. So number one thing He wants us to know, we can depend on God to build our lives. Number two, we can depend on God to protect our lives. The truth is what we build, we want to protect. I mean, think about that. When you build a house, what do you get? House insurance. When you have a car, you have car insurance. I read an article about LeBron James. The dude pours about $1.5 million into his body every year. He built his body so that he can sustain a long NBA career. And what he has built, he wants to protect. What God is building in your life, His building in your life, He will also protect. And the beautiful thing is that those in Christ know this, that you've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, He protects the physical, and we can certainly ask for that, and I believe truly He will, but it's the heart that He's always after. It's our emotional and spiritual side of things that He's after. And so, what He is building in your life, He will protect, and He protects it through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, we must be watchful what comes in our hearts and our minds. That means what we read and how often we are spending time with the Lord and what we are looking at on social media. These types of things, they're really important to how God is protecting our life, that we are, the scriptures say, as Paul writes about, we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. That means when thoughts run through our head, when ideas come in mind, when our heart is moved in a certain way, that we are seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and His guidance on what the next step is. Because as God builds our life, and as the enemy presses in because he notices God is building your life, that there is a protector for you. There is an advocate for you, and it's the Holy Spirit. So what God is building in your life, He also offers protection. Protection through the Holy Spirit. So it looks like this often, that maybe you're in a situation where you have to make a big decision. And you just simply don't know what to decide. And you spend time writing all the things out, which isn't a bad thing, or make a list of like, well, this would be the best thing, this would not be the best thing, whatever that might be. But you stop and take time to let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart and show you what is true. Holy Spirit is your guide. It's a guide to understanding God building your life and protecting your life. So that's the second thing He wants you to know. Number one, you can depend on God to build your life. He will never fail you. That everything else that you might depend on in this world will ultimately fail you. But it is God who is consistent every single time. You can depend on God to protect your life. What He is building, He will protect through the power of Holy Spirit. And what does He want us to do? I hope you love this. God wants us to sleep. Listen to this. It is useless for you to work so hard from early in the morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to the ones He loves. Listen, He loves you so much that He gives you rest. He gives you sleep. Some of us are so restless, so tired. that we don't even give God the opportunity to speak because we're exhausted. And we just decide, hey, we're just going to build this thing on our own. We'll just build it. We don't have to worry about like an outside force helping us. We'll just build it on our own. And the truth is we get so exhausted that our life is totally unbalanced. And if our life is unbalanced, we are unstable in all of our ways. Our approach to work is unstable. We become workaholics. But also it's possible that we become so lazy, our ambition is dead. It says that it's useless to get up early and go to bed late. That's not to say that you shouldn't work hard. And it's not to say that sometimes you got to get up early and go to bed late. It is how you are going about your work. It says anxiously toiling, anxiously working. Some of us are working hard, but we are not resting. And so we are anxious in our hearts and minds, and we are worried and we are depressed. So God gives us sleep to remind us that we are not God, that we aren't Him, that He holds all things together. When we go to sleep, guess what? Things still move right along. He reminds us that we need Him. He holds us as we sleep because we're loved. He gives us this sleep. He gives us this rest because we are deeply loved. Some of us are exhausted. Some of us are so tired that to allow God and even the thought of submitting to Him means that we have to make space for Him, and we can't even do that because our schedules are so full. We'll just do what's quickest and best and protect and build ourselves, and surely that will be good enough, and certainly it will be to get you through life, but not abundantly. There's a particular way that we know that we should rest, and that is in the person of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, you can read through it, but you should come to Him, all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. The particular way that we rest is not just going to sleep, but it is resting in Jesus Christ. This is the way that God offered His Son Jesus, that one of the beautiful pictures of the redemption of our hearts is that we actually get to rest in Him. That means seeking Him and just literally we can be in solitude and let the Holy Spirit of God minister to our hearts. God wants us to sleep. He wants us to rest so that because of the gift of sleep and knowing that you are one of the beloved, like He loves you exactly for who you are, so that we allow Him, we submit to Him to build our life and protect our life. And when we are rested, this is much easier. When we are rested, our hearts are rested. We may be physically tired, but spiritually alive. That's very possible, you know, especially those who have kids, it's possible. But when we are rested, it's easier to hear the voice of the Lord. I know this about being a parent. When I'm not rested, I'll be honest, my discipline is unbalanced. My nerves are just a little bit more sensitive. I'm not as tender-hearted. There's a reason Jesus stepped away and went to rest. So, one thing He wants us to know, we can depend on God to build our lives. The second thing He wants us to know, we can depend on God to protect our lives. And then what does He want us to do? He wants us to rest. He wants us to sleep, and not just in any moment. Yes, go to sleep, go to bed, get your 8 hours, but to rest in Jesus. And what is the effect of these things? If God is building it and protecting it, and you are sleeping and resting, here's the effect. Verses 3-5. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children are born to a young man like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gate. Now, this is a real life example of godly dependence. That you, at the end of your life, or if you're standing in accusation from the enemy, from others, and believing that God can come through how He says He's going to come through, that you have a whole group of people, you have a whole family behind you saying, I have His back. And when he's confronted, he is not put to shame. Ultimately, we are sowing a life in God. We are investing our life in the scriptures, in his word, so that we might, our hearts might be full of him. And this, of course, we want to pass down. Certainly, we want to pass down all kinds of things. You know, we pass down objects to people, you know, like journals, or we can pass down like artifacts that are from our ancestors and stuff. But there's nothing greater that we can pass down to our children and to our friends and to those that we will leave when we go on to the glory, to eternity, than the lasting legacy of believing that God is dependable, God is faithful, and he sent Jesus to die for us. This is the legacy we want to pass down, but we must invest in submitting to God to build our lives and to protect it and to be a restful people. Now, when you read verses 3-5, there is a deeper teaching here, but what I want to focus on this morning is this, that it is a greater illustration of how we must invest our life. If you want a bigger picture of this, you can read Psalm 78. And one of the parts in Psalm 78 that says that we want our children not to live in disobedience, maybe how we lived in disobedience to God. That they would believe totally in the truth of what God has done. That when you stand in the face of uncertainty and persecution, lies, or maybe you stand in the face of a season of grief, not just your family would be standing behind you when you're accused, when you're downtrodden, when you're outcast, but the entire family of God is standing holding your arms up. This is the picture I see, is that this investment, right? If you look in verses 3-5, it is a young man who realizes that children are an absolute gift from the Lord, and they're a reward, and we can all agree with that. And the more, they're saying, the more you have, and back then, the more children that you had, the more protection your family had. And you wanted a lot of them, verse 5. But to know that when there is a battle up ahead, that all of your sons and daughters are standing behind you, saying, if you're going to go after him, you're going to have to come through us. If you're going to go after him, you're going to have this whole crew coming after you. Verses 3-5 is a greater picture of someone who has allowed God to build their life, someone who has allowed and submitted to God protecting, and someone who is restful, not just going to sleep, but restful in God the Father. And so that when they are accused, when they are grieving, when they are in a place of hurt, or when they're in a place that is foreign to them and a new season of life, that there is a whole group standing behind them, and they can look over their shoulder and say, oh my goodness, I have not just the Lord with me, of course, which is enough, but I have the entire family of God standing with me. And this is the picture of a legacy that lasts. This is the legacy that you should want to pass down, that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. And he has redeemed your soul. So I ask you, are you depending on God to build your life? Have you submitted the areas of your life that you're building yourself? Maybe you're so worried about your retirement that you are building and building and building yourself. You've not allowed the Lord to even have a word in it. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you're stressed out. Are you submitted to God in the building of your life, or submitted to God in the protecting of your life, knowing the Holy Spirit has your best in mind? Are you resting in Christ, or are you anxiously toiling? Maybe anxiously toiling in your emotions. Have the Holy Spirit to step in to your life and to speak to those fears, worries, and doubts. How are you anxiously toiling in your work and in your emotions? Where in your life have you believed it depends on you only? Where have you put all that dependence on you? Where have you put that dependence on people, possessions? So I challenge you to look into your life and look to see where you need to submit that building to Him, that protecting to Him. Maybe you can't even get there without maybe going to take a nap, going to stop in solitude and silence and spend time with the Lord. And so I challenge you to stop and to seek Him totally with your life.